World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I took my mask and turned it into a blindfold today. I think maybe that'd be better for most of us Christians to be walking around with a blindfold on, trying to ignore exactly what's going on in society and in the culture. And I'll go ahead and take it all right now. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. What was that? Was that Smokey and the Bandit? I think it was. Long way to go, short time to get there. I have to go speak. I have the honor of speaking at Thomas Worthington Kilbourne High School this morning to three classes of seniors. So I got to roll out of here a little bit early on the show. And Craig Mickle is going to come in. Folks, you're not going to miss what Craig's going to talk about. The polar shift, the northern lights that we just went through. What's really behind all that stuff? And I'm not, I felt kind of bad because when this happened, Craig sent me an email. He said, I've been telling you about this, Coach. And he has. Since I first met Craig at a McDonald's, Craig? I don't remember where it was. He started telling me about the pole shift that's coming and solar minimums and all that stuff. And, you know, my head was so full of other stuff I didn't. So Craig's going to explain some of that to us here this morning. But I got a lot of other things I want to get on to real quickly here if I can. So I'm going to talk fast because I got to move here quickly. Number one thing, look, at cost metals. I just want all of you to know that I ordered on Thursday. I went online because I got the new thing up on Thursday. I went up there and I ordered 11 rounds of what is this? Liberty dollars. 11 rounds. They showed up, baby. There it is on the screen. They showed up. Each packaged individually. I got them for $29.15. You try to buy one of these for $29.15. Try to buy one anywhere. So I'm just verify it for you. It works, friends. It works. They come packaged individually and emailed them to me. $29.15. So I was telling people last night, silver dollar. Say, hey, it's a silver dollar, right? What's that worth? And they kind of look at me like I'm crazy. So it's a silver dollar. What's it worth? And they said, well, it's a dollar. I said, dummy. It's $29.15. I just bought it. $29.15, friends, and I can hold it, okay? So I got a lot of stuff I could show you. Maybe I'll talk to you a little bit more about metals again tomorrow. I'm just trying to encourage you, man. Come on, huh? I'm just trying. There's a credit card charge. There is. But look, folks, you can also put it. Well, I don't want to spend all the time talking about today. I'll get to it tomorrow. I just want you to know it works, okay? It works. It showed up at my door. I got it. 11 of them, $315, I think it cost me for 11 of them. I got them in my hand, and the price of silver and gold's only going to go up. Next thing, what I want to talk to, oh my goodness. We were at Croton this weekend. I got to talk fast. I got to run. We're at Croton this weekend with, Coach, take a deep breath here, right? We were
Patriot Street Fighter.
And we had a wonderful event. Wonderful event, and it was packed. I don't know, 400 people probably. And one of the things that I came away with, that I always come away with, is the fact that, folks, we need Coach so bad. We need put in the game so bad. People came from everywhere. I mean, they drove in from Oklahoma and New Mexico and New York. I mean, and just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people who are woke. Now, I can never remember that word woke, whether that's good or bad. They are awake. They know what's going on. And so I sat there all day and I heard some of the most fabulous speakers, Tenpenny, Renz, Sasha Stone. It went on and on, just unbelievable. 20 minutes at a time, 30 minutes at a time, one after another, after another, after another. And I sat there and I thought, here's what I thought. I said, you guys remember me showing this? In fact, I used it on Saturday and I got the chance to speak. The stick man. Great big head. full of information, real skinny body because we don't know what to do with it. I saw it again this weekend, and I'm not being critical of anybody in any way, shape, or form. Folks, America needs coached, man. We need coached so bad about how to get involved and how to do these things. And because the energy is so good and so strong out there. But somebody said to me, Coach Dave, it's almost like one couple told me they sold their house, bought a mobile home, and they travel around from conference to conference. They're professional conference goers because they said nobody understands what's going on. Their friends don't understand. The family don't understand. So they just left them. They just left them and they just travel and live their life and they know what's going on. Well, folks, we have to move into action. This weekend, I'm going to be the time to save America is now. His glory. Pastor Dave Scarlett is putting on an event out there. Sarah Palin's going to be there. What? Yeah. Sarah Palin's going to be there. And it's going to be a wonderful, and I'm just telling you, this is where I'm going to be this weekend. I'm going to jump in a car and I'm going to drive. I ain't flying anymore. I've almost made that decision unless I have to. I'm never going to fly again. I don't trust him. I don't want to get locked in airports. It starts Friday night at Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Unbelievable that I would get a chance to hang out with these guys. I asked Tom Renz if he would ride with me. But Tom said no, because I don't know if you guys know this or not. His wife's been fighting cancer and she was stage 3. And now it's down to almost like stage 0.5. Almost gotten rid of all of it. So be praying for Tom Renz. And Ohio Brett was there, and he would attest to this. Here's what I don't get. Why don't we put money in the hands of players? Can somebody explain that to me? So here's Tom Renz, because Tom sat and he sat at my table. Me and Tom. I'm here. Tom's right here. And we talked the whole time during dinner of all the wonderful things that he's gone on and all the lawsuits that are out there that they're trying to file and they're trying to keep up with and all that stuff. And it's just like him. It's just him. He's doing it. He's got some other people that are helping. And I'm thinking, why isn't there a $20 million legal fund for Tom Renz? I asked Tom, what could you do if you had $20 million? He just looked at me, shook his head. We got guys locked up in J6. We got all this stuff going on. And we're not even involved. The church, the Patriot movement, call it whatever you want to, we ought to be dumping every penny we have into Tom Renz because he's chopping off the head of Goliath with Goliath's own sword. Tom said, if I had the funding I have right now, I have an argument that will bring down the government. So Tom Renz told me. And I don't know how he's doing it, folks. I don't know how he's doing it. He's getting support, but he's not like you think he ought to be getting. We're giving it to Joel Osteen and what's that, Jesse Plantis, and giving all the money over there. Don't get me going. Don't get me. Brett, jump in here real quick. Tell me what you think about the event. Thank God for Ohio Brett getting that thing organized and the connections he's made. What do you think, Brett?
I think Coach Dave stole the show, and we have a coach that actually runs plays. Yes, there was lots of great speakers, but coaches talk about this all the time. The only coach really was the only one that can run plays. And all of you on this team and all that you watch on PPN and around the world, CoachDaveLive.com, I'm proud to be one of your teammates.
That's right, brother. We got to get them to run plays. They don't know how to do it. Judah, come on in there. God bless Judah, because he worked hard at this thing, and his wife, they worked hard, helped organize and did a lot of great stuff. And hey, Judah, we're swimming close. We're flying close to the flame, aren't we, brother? We're right at the heart of what's going on.
Yeah, it was incredible. And obviously, Ohio Brett and Coach, you guys knocked it out of the park. And we're going to get this thing up as a live stream view, actually, for edited so people can see the content.
Yeah.
But you guys did knock it out of the park. And Scott even mentioned that afterward. He's like, man, you guys all came together and did something for the better of mankind.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? What a great term of words. But the bigger part, obviously, Scott's heart really reaching out to everybody. And, you know, for you guys, he was very impressed.
Yeah, folks, listen, I hadn't really known this Patriot Street Fighter, Scott McKay. I've met him a couple of times, but I never really knew him. Got to know him a little bit this week. You know, he spent a lot of money. And he doesn't make money at these things, so I don't know where they're getting the support to do it. Said, "What are you talking about, Coach? You said there were 400 people there at $100 a night. That's a lot of money. That's $10,000 to rent the building." See, there. Don't get me going on that one. See, why in the heck aren't our churches open for free for these things? Can somebody explain that to me? Why we have to go give $10,000 to the secular world because they'll host us, but a church won't host us. Oh, no, no, no. You might get in here. You might upset somebody else that doesn't agree with your theology. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm just telling you the truth. I only got about 10 minutes left and I got to go. Go ahead, Jeff. Come on in. By the way, hang on, Jeff. Hang on, Jeff. It's Natural Family Month started. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Mother's Day to Father's Day. And it is an idea that's really, really, really catching on. I guess we got to keep pounding this thing. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you said, why don't they have the money to give to people like Tom Renz? Because they're spending all the money traveling, going to conferences.
Well, that's some truth there too, brother, huh?
Yeah, there's where all the money goes. So here's a quick example. Pastor Matt reached a lady the other day, talking to her. He's trying to get everybody out and be the church in the streets, reaching people, furthering the kingdom. So he met this woman. He told me Saturday, he said, you know, JC, I met this woman. She just had a baby. I was talking to her. And when the baby was born, she's in the hospital. And he's got a relative that works there. He knows that he got the first hand. When the baby was delivered, she said, no, I don't want to hold it. She didn't want to hold that baby. And he thought, why? But then he found out. He said, you know what? Now I figured it out. Because she gave it up for adoption. She didn't want to hold it. But he said, you know what? She didn't abort it. So he's going to get in contact with this lady. He's going to further the kingdom there. We had three boys on the square, 19 years old. Pastor Matt goes over, engages them in conversation. They were listening. So he engages them, asks them questions. You boys know Jesus? Baba, he went on. So he got him a contact information. They said they're going to get a hold of him. There's four individuals right there, young people.
So Jeff, here's what I know. The church is not ready. See, the church is praying for a revival, but the church is not ready. When things get really, really tough and the crap hits the fan and these people run to the church is ill-equipped to do it. Church is just, I'm just telling you, friends, I'm just telling you, the fields are white and they're going to get whiter. Now, listen, I have to leave here in about 10 minutes. I'm speaking at Worthington Kilbourne High School this morning. Craig's going to come in and he's going to make a presentation with you about what just happened with the Northern Lights and that whatever they called that thing. And everybody's like, ooh, it's so beautiful. And it is. But what's really going on behind that? What would make that all of a sudden, for the first time in 6,000 years, something like that happen? Well, there's a pole shift coming, right? Oh yeah! Oh, there sure is. And Craig's going to talk about that here. Let me hang on. Let me just pop a couple things up here real quickly. So again, you saw my medals, right? Saw my medals. Folks, I'm not trying to be a shyster team. Come on, man! Pull up right here. It says pull up number one. Pull up number one. This is InfoWars today. InfoWars. Alex Jones. InfoWars today. What's it say? As the dollar falters. Go back to the top, if you could. There. Gold becomes insurance, not speculation. Come on, folks. Paper dollar's not going to be worth a whole lot here in a second. Number four, pull that up. This one made me feel really, really good, huh? Kind of shows you where we are in America again, if you can imagine. What? Goodbye, Boy Scouts. Goodbye, Boy Scouts. Did you guys know that the Boy Scouts changed their name? Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they changed the Boy Scouts, an American icon. They were killed at the intersection of wokeness, diversity, inclusion, and equity. Let me read this because it's really good. Written by Katie Grimes. I don't know who she is. It's now called Scouting America. Boy Scouts of America just announced it will rebrand itself with a new theme, a new name, Scouting America. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? The Scouts once were known as the Boys. It says it's reflecting the organization's ongoing commitment to welcome every youth and family in America to experience the benefits of scouting. I suppose transgender scouting is next, I suppose. What has happened to scouting in America? Well, the adult leaders of the Girl Scouts now promote abortion and Planned Parenthood, and the Boy Scouts aren't really about boys anymore. Infiltration. I saw this coming a mile away. My now mid-30s son was a tiger cub, wolf, bear, wibolo, star, and life scout, and achieved the rank of Eagle Scout. Anybody remember those days? Huh? You remember those days in the Boy Scouts, huh? Yeah, and he loved scouting. But along the way, I remember being at a scout awards meeting, about the age 10 for him, wishing my husband, I don't see a single male role model in this room tonight, she says. Huh? Look around your church. There were plenty of moms running the meeting, But moms really don't belong in Boy Scouts, other than as a supportive parent behind the scenes. And the few men at the meeting were nervous beta males, uncomfortable with the outdoors. Let's start with one fact. Moms ruined camp. Moms did ruin camp. The final summer my son was at camp, a couple moms complained about rock throwing. Boys were skipping rocks on the lake and maybe up on the hill at each other. Someone got sent home. Previous summer, a mom complained about the smell of the boys' tents. She actually complained to men about this. I was used to delousing and sterilizing my son's clothing, shoes, sleeping bag, and tent after camp. It was a rite of passage. And that's what mom was even doing at Boy Scout camp. It seems like helicopter mom was already a thing. Sadly, her presence should have disqualified her son at camp. Somebody say amen. Mommy shows up, take the boy and go home. Why did the male leaders allow mommies to ruin the camp? What self-respecting male child wants mom at camp anyway? My son changed Boy Scout troops to another where men ran the troop, although the pushy mothers sure tried. And following the Scouting America mounts today, someone posted on Twitter X, "Rest in peace, Boy Scouts. The audience you are chasing for doesn't want to be scouts. The audience you once had, you alienated." Isn't that the truth? Rest in peace. Another one said, "Oh, yeah, another great organization ruined by effeminate men who couldn't tell their wives no." Somebody say boom, boom. And then how about this one? "So Boy Scouts will now have girls? You know, there are Girl Scouts, right? The feminization of everything, sissification." Oh, there were other more nefarious comments as well as those addressing the serious sexual abuse violations, subsequent lawsuits. There's a long list. But looking at what happened over time between the teachers, pushy feminist mothers, lawyers in Hollywood depicting men as idiots, men have been relegated to the doofus category, and boys are crybabies. This also is hurt by Boy Scouting. On the playground, boys can't play chase. Someone might get hurt. Boys can't fight. Someone might get hurt. They can't play on the monkey bars or jungle gyms or play King of the Hill or tackle soccer or anything that might involve getting roughed up. Boys can't burp, fart, scratch, or throw rocks at camp either. In first grade, my son was asked not to return to a snooty private school he attended. The only answer I got from his teacher is that he was in dire trouble for being squirrely in the PE line. The PE they got once a week. Expulsion at 8-6. We never look back. Feminists are miserable women. They want to dominate men, and then when they succeed at that, they hate the men they dominate. It's a problem and a big one. And a boy who, with a feminist mother, doesn't have a chance. He's been terrorized for years. And when he realizes who he is, he's already married to a demanding, pushy wife. And 10-1, she hates the Boy Scouts, probably. Another iconic institution killed at the intersection of wokeness, diversity, inclusion, and equity. This has been at the root of the Boy Scouts since it was created. Boy Scouts of America is chartered by Congress to serve our nation's youth by instilling the values of the Scout Oath and Law. Boy Scout America aims to prepare young people for lives of impact and purpose. We welcome at every level of our movement youth and families who wish to live such a life of impact, purpose, guided by Scout Oath and Law. The mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. The Scout Oath, on my honor, I will do my best to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Boom! Gone to the wayside. Kick to the curb of political correctness. Huh? Women run the church too. They run the church too. Okay, look, I got to run. I got a lot more stuff I want to talk about. I'm going to hand it over to Chad. I'm going to be listening, but I got to get up to Worthington Kilbourne High School. And I want you to know this. I walked away this weekend full of hope again. We're winning, folks. We are so winning. But here's our problem. We don't know what to do. We don't know. We don't see there's a difference between driving a ball early in the game and driving a ball late in the game. And we're driving the ball down the field late in the game. And we don't know what plays to run. Our coaches don't know what plays to call. The coaches are still holding up the game plan, but they ain't executing.
Amen.
And the thing I love most about Coach Dave Live is there are play runners and executors everywhere I look. We're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing. Thanks for bearing with me. I'll be listening. I got to run. Craig, come on in, man. Talk about hey, open forum, baby. You go for it. I'm going to be listening. Don't fight with each other. Craig, take him through this solar minimum that's coming. Folks, medals. Come on! For your safety, man. For your safety. A silver dollar. I said to my son-in-law last night, he's a smart guy. I said, there's a silver dollar. He says, you know what that's worth? He didn't know. I said, that's worth $29.15. Just bought it. But it says on it, it's a dollar. It says right here. Dollar. It says it's a dollar. But it's 29 and change. See you tomorrow. Come on in, Craig. Go get him, brother.
All right. So, but you're going to be in the show. I mean, you want me to run the show until we close then?
Is that what you're saying, man? Well, somebody else can. You do your thing. Okay. I'll be listening, but I'm not going to be much good to anybody, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm trying to log on right now, in fact, so I don't lose it.
Okay. Well, you know, we had a really neat, a very cool event. We were able to observe something here. Was Northern Lights that are coming down down to Puerto Rico, right? And they talk about this is the first time in 103 years that this has happened. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Why is this, why are these things occurring? What anomalies, what's going on? What's the background? Why is this being so infrequent? And when we start to look into it, we start to realize when you dig into it, everything has to do with the magnetic field, right? The magnetic field is what really protects us. Planets that don't have a magnetic field really don't have life because of radiation, right? Radiation will come in and it will kill that. You know, that's why people have been exposed to lots of radiation in their life. Some of the people who worked in military and stuff like that end up having these cancers. So maybe Mr. Producer, could you pull up that website there? So what we have here is one of the reasons that you're starting. No, that's not mine. The other one. There we go. I don't know if you can make that a little bigger or not. Is our Earth's magnetic field has been shrinking over the last 300 to 400 years, and they started to be able to categorize this and measure it. And I started thinking, I said, well, why did they, you know, how could they measure this back in the 1800s? And then I just started thinking, well, you know, the British, right, England, you know, the sun never set on the British crown, and their ships, right, they were one of the mightiest navies of all of our history. And the Royal Naval Observatory actually keeps really, really good records of magnetic field, right, because that would be one of the means that they use to take ships across the earth over the years. So if you actually go up there a little bit, I wanted to, at the very beginning, I want to see that's what our magnetic field looks like, right? And this, they call this the one to the left is basically facing the sun, and it's protecting us, right? And so as the sun has these things called solar flares, coronal mass ejections, where actually parts of the skin of the sun break off, okay, those shields are the ones that protect us from that. And they call that our bow shock. Just like when you see a boat going through water, you see it traversing water, you see it push out the water in front of it. That's what our Earth does. And what has been happening from 1800 to 1900, the Earth's magnetic field went down 5%. From 1900 to 2000, the Earth's magnetic field went down 5%. But something changed in the year 2000. From 2000 to 2010, the Earth's magnetic field went down 5%, but it did it in a decade, a 10-year period, right? And then what they started to kind of hide, it's very hard to find, is they don't really tell you, well, if it went down 5% from the year 2000 to 2010, what happened from 2010 to 2020? Well, you can't really find that, because when you start to understand that this magnetic field is shrinking at a rapid rate, that's a bad sign for Earth. And that's part of the reason why you're starting to see some of the profound weather effects. And the way that I like to share with people about, you know, for us that have been around for a while, where you kind of really ask yourself that question. So back in the 80s, you used to go and put coconut oil on your skin and you go to the beach, right? And you get a suntan. Now you put SPF, you know, 100 on it and you get burned after this 4 hours. Why did you put coconut oil on, you know, in the 80s to go to the beach, and now you're putting on these high levels of protection and you're still getting burned? That's the reason. The magnetic field is not filtering out certain wavelengths of light and it's burning you. And so you start to go out in the sun and you feel its intensity, how strong it is compared to it was before. And you're even starting to see in clothing, and I was kind of surprised last year, I went into Walmart and I was looking for a t-shirt, and on a t-shirt it had the UV rating of the clothing. And I thought, wow, these are the little signs that you get to see that, you know, if you're attuned to, you know, being hip to thinking about this as a real issue, you're like, wow, why are they listing the UV rating of a shirt? Well, they're trying to tell you that you need this type of protection to be out in the sun. So what happened is if you go down a little bit further than Jonathan, that's what the bow shot looks like there. All right. And so they've had this and they've been watching it down here. And if you go down a little bit further, this is the chart, okay? And if you look at it and you look to the left, this is where they were. Now, this is the magnetic North Pole, not true North Pole, you know, that you would go off of. This is the magnetic North Pole. And if you look over in the purple and the left and the red, you'll see this is where they tracked it, right, over the 1800s and the 1900s. And you start getting into the yellow. Then you start seeing these dots here, okay? This is where it started, like, really rapidly moving in, like, 1950s, and it would move a mile or two or 3 miles in a year. It started moving 50 miles a year, okay? And if you look at the left, that's kind of the Canada, northern Canada area of the Arctic North Pole, right? And if you look to the right, this is where Russia is. So this magnetic connection that we have, right, where all these polar lights are supposed to go to, right? I lived in Alaska for 4 years, and you would see northern lights every winter because it was the magnet for this energy to be taken into the earth end. But what you're starting to see now is you're starting to see these auroras are coming down into these low latitudes. And that's why they make such a big deal about it, because the Earth's magnetic field is not strong. Okay, it's allowing these anomalies to come in here. The next thing is that they're doing and looking at is, these events are not new. They've happened in the past. But what they're concerned about is that, yes, you've had auroras, you know, 103 years ago down in Puerto Rico. The problem is the storms of 100 years ago were stronger to get the same result. So when we start thinking about this magnetic field, you know, and coaches, you know, football player, right? So let's say you have 5 or 6 people on your front line protecting your quarterback. Well, what happens if you take 2 of those players out? Well, it's easier now for the offense or the defense of the other team to penetrate and sack the quarterback. And that's what you're starting to see with these auroras. Last year in 2023, there were 4 or 5 times that auroras came down into the lower 48, down to Arizona and the Carolinas. I'll put in two places that you can look at. One's a suspiciousobservers.com, and he has his own YouTube site. If you're interested in following this, he does daily updates. He has a big playlist. You can learn about this and BP Earth Watch. That is the signal that this magnetic field is is rapidly weakening. And the more that we start to see these solar events and you start to see these lights, the more frequency they have you, the bigger the, this is the indicator that this is a real, real, real big thing that we're going to have to deal with. And it can have the profound effects. So maybe what we could do is, Mr. Producer, where he has that YouTube, that 5-minute little thing, because I didn't have a time to get all the charts and all the things together that I, you know, have in my computer here. I didn't realize I was going to do this for, you know, until I looked at my phone at 6:50. But he has a little 5-minute clip I think would be very educational for us to play. And then what I'll do is I'll open it up and have some discussions about it. Okay.
May the 11th, 2024. Guys, you're looking at satellite images from Stereo Ahead. It's this satellite that's very close to our planet. We've had an X5.8 flare. That's the strongest of solar cycle 25 so far. Now, check this out. The X flare is going to come out the right side of this image, right there. But notice the left side. Those are sunspots that are coming around from the other side of the planet. That's a very strong flare. I don't know how long a break we're going to get on this situation. This is what we're dealing with now, and you can see the activity coming around the edge. You're also seeing filament releases on this particular satellite. This is the SDO. By the way, here's, again, you can see both X flares. We've had two today. But the satellites are just now starting to come back online fully. Both this satellite and LASCO, the SOHO satellites, were down for a while. But again, right there is an X flare. We're going to look at it from the teal camera from the same satellite. What that does is it filters it in a different way to where you can really see the ultraviolet images of this. But the sun is very active. Look at the filaments reaching around it. And again, you can see there's flares here in the bottom right. I'll pause it and back it up right into that X 5.8. And again, what's coming around the left side of this image, we're going to have to pay very close attention to. But this is the flare we're dealing with now. Again, there were two today. They are not on the CME trackers yet. That's an X5.8. Now, because of where it's at, it's not directly Earth-facing. But when you have a flare like that, guys, it radiates in all directions. Right there, that's a second one. But right here is the 5.8. Then you had an X 1.5 right after that. Notice we're still at a 75% chance of X flares. That's extremely high, and that's what we're dealing with. What have we had now, 7 or 8 in the last few days, and they're continuing. The sun is really kicking into the top sections of solar cycle 25. How long will that last? We don't know yet. A solar cycle usually is about 11.8 years. It matches the orbit of Jupiter around our sun. So you've got 5.5 years or so of rising into a solar cycle and then about that long coming back down. Look at where the auroras would be now. The sun, it's sunrise, sun is rising over the Atlantic. It's 8:38 a.m. now, and you can't see those auroras. But, guys, they were seen all over Mississippi last night, here in Florida, and all the way to Puerto Rico. Now, in Florida, down in the Keys, you're 27 degrees. Here, central Mississippi, we're at 32 degrees. But again, Puerto Rico is reporting it. We've had a 900 kilometer per second wind burst right there. And what that does is 2 million miles an hour. Also, this is from Ron Gerald. This is the big key, Florida, 24.7 degrees. That's far south. And these, look how red the skies were. Again, not as far south as Puerto Rico. But what you're doing, guys, you are living through an extreme solar event as far as geomagnetic storms and all of the stuff that we're looking at, the different information from the different satellites. That's just part of history, because this is building up to be quite a solar cycle 25. We don't know where this is going to end, but I do know this planet is in peril. But one reason, the demons are loose, and I don't know how long our Father in Heaven is going to put up with it. Look at the water temps. This is just May the 11th. 85 in the Caribbean, 79 off the coast of Florida inside the Gulf of Mexico itself, And it looks like the Gulf Stream is warm, running up the East Coast from Florida through the Carolinas. But this is where they're going to usually start, either Caribbean or the Gulf, the first ones coming into the season. But guys, just pay attention to that. This is kind of a side note, but we're leading up into hurricane season. And with this heat, it's not going to help. But guys, there was a lot of information. Again, this morning at before 7 a.m., you could not get the SDO satellite images. You could not get the LASCO images. They have an automatic shutdown system. And what happens when you have a flare that strong, they will sense it, and they will turn some of their electronics off and just to preserve them. But they seem to be back on now, and we will watch it. I've got to make a couple of errands this morning, but as soon as I get back, we're going to check this out, and I will get another video up.
Okay, so you get to see some of the stuff that that's out there. So I'm going to put in, you know, these are things in the chat that you can look at and make your own decision. I mean, I see, you know, we'll always have this flat Earth, you know, are we in orbit and stuff like that. The bottom line is whatever's happening, there is something happening. When I've studied over the sunspots, and there is a solar cycle, and just as he said, it's about 11.8 years long. Sometimes it's about 9 to 10 years. These are observable things that you can see. You can see these magnetic anomalies. The reason that they're called sunspots is they're cooler areas on the disk of the sun, right? And you can track these. You can look at them just like your doctor, like Dr. Paul, right? And I'm going to take some questions here in a minute. He looks at EKG, and you look at it as a bunch of lines. For him, he looks at time, frequency, the space, you know, anomalies and stuff like that. And he can look at that EKG, and he can sit there and say, well, your heart, there's something in this part of your heart that's not operating right. And so we have this data set over that. And what I'm telling you from my studies of it is this thing called, you know, grand solar minimum. When we look at the activity of the sun over several 11-year cycles, and we either see the amount of sunspots increasing or decreasing over time, just like your, you know, 401k, you know, is your money going up or is it going down? This has profound effects on the climate. Okay, from the 1600s, it's called the Maunder minimum, where you had very few sunspots over 100 years, and you look at what the weather was and look at the winters and the earthquakes and the volcanoes and stuff like that. All these increase during these periods that are called lower solar activity. The other thing that the Dalton minimum, right, in the late 1700s, the sunspots really started to drop off and the sun activity dropped off. Doesn't mean the sun didn't come off, but it's called the Dalton minimum. And if you look at the things that happened in the Dalton minimum, the San Madrid earthquake, right? The volcano eruption of 1815, 1816, Mount Tambora, that caused the winter, that caused the summer without winter, basically. We had no summer. Summer of 1816, we didn't have a summer. In other words, you had a lot of cloud cast because all these volcanoes shot up ash into the higher levels of the atmosphere and created clouds all the time, right? Kind of like what we would see with the airplanes doing. So these are real events. You just need to brace yourself, learn about it, and be prepared. And last thing I'll say, and I'll start taking some questions, is I think what the best way to start looking at this is, what's happened is the Earth's like if you used to charge your battery up and you put electric positive negative and you used to leave your battery charger on and overnight and all of a sudden you came out and your battery was the shell of the battery was cracked because it got overheated. This is what you're going to start to see from these solar storms from last week. Look for intense earthquake activity across the Earth and increased volcanoes of higher magnitude. These always tend to follow after this. And if you just kind of watch what's going on in the sun and you watch those kind of connections over time, I think you'll get a little bit more comfortable about what I'm saying. So let me get the first hands up here. Let me pull that. I'm not used to this, so you're gonna have to bear with me, guys, here. Gene, you got your hand up first.
Yes, I may have missed something, but when you were showing the diagram of those shields that go around the Earth, But that could be the same shape of our firmament that God had put around us? Or how far does a firmament go out there?
Well, the information that you're getting is what they would measure the magnetic field at, right? And so they have satellites and different things up there. Whether you think they're above the firmament, they're not. What, you know, I'm giving you information that is trying to portray an image. And some people won't. They say, well, I don't even believe that. And that's okay. Then I think that's the discussion point that you say, well, none of this is true. And we just kind of move on. But the point that I'm just trying to say is so they're measuring our magnetic field and its strength as it goes out. And you can do that, you know, from 30,000 feet or 50,000 feet. I mean, we do fly in planes. So there's a way that they can gauge and do that. And so our magnetic, it's showing how far our magnetic field goes out. They talk about the sun's magnetic field going out past the planets, you know, past Jupiter. And as it goes out further, okay, its strength is not as strong, okay? And so what's happened with our magnetic field is it's not as strong to resist incoming cosmic, okay, that's cosmic rays, right, from other parts of the universe, and solar rays. Does that answer your question? So that picture, yeah, is
vaguely. I know what you're saying, but I was just, it just never did strike me how far out is the firmament, you know? Well, it's protection too.
Well, I'm giving you the information that let's just say would be in a solar system orbiting around the sun, information.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Keith.
Yeah, this is where the rubber hits the road. It's like the scriptures don't talk of a heliocentered earth, or it talks of a flat earth. It talks of firmament. And that we're in between, in essence, a water sandwich of sorts. But the scriptures, that's over 200 of them. You can't ignore them. And my question is are you going to believe everything that mankind comes up with? Or are you going to come up with what the Lord comes up with? And then you have the issue of NASA. And, well, for that matter, the United States Air Force and a lot of their technical manuals, when it talks about a flat, stationary, non-rotating Earth. And all their calculations come from that issue, as opposed to a, in essence, ball Earth. There's just too many questions out there, and the CGI, and then you got HARP. How much is HARP interfering with these northern lights and such? Because that can also be an issue. I'm not saying it can't happen naturally, because really, if the Lord decides something's going to happen, I'm sure there's the northern lights are going to play a part of it. And then you got, well, demons coming up out of the earth, all kinds of issues that might come into it. So so I guess you basically have to make up your mind that it's either coming from the Lord or coming from man. That's about all I got to say about it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that comment. Like I said, you know, there's good people on both sides of, they look at it, you know, doesn't mean you're not a Christian, you're a bad Christian, you're a good Christian, or whatever. I guess I'm giving you one alternative, right? So, you know, when we're putting truth out there, you want to hear both sides of the truth. People can come to their own conclusions. You know, like I said, I've looked at different things of flat Earth. I mean, to me, it's not enough to convince me. To others, it is. So that, but I don't make a divisive thing about it. But the information that I'm giving to you is basically that, yes, this is a solar system, and you know, I think scriptures can go on both ways, right? And so it's a way how we interpret it. Paul, come on in.
Hey, Craig, that was really, really good. I want to remind people that we are electrical beings. We are DC current, so we are very much affected, each individual, with this. I mean, just look at the tides, right? And having said that, I don't see the word flat anywhere in the Bible. So describe it what it is, okay? I think that's a red herring to make us look stupid. So the word flat earth needs to go out the window, and maybe we'll describe it some other way that's in the Bible. And just so we're aware, I see the influenza 1918. All right. There's a lot of information about that in regards to this very thing. Influenza means influence. Okay, it's not some virus. And what I'm trying to say is we live in a world of deception. We live in Satan's lie. So the one thing you do not want to do is get fearful of this. You know, just be aware of your surroundings. Take care of people. You'll be fine. And I'm just, Craig, that was wonderful. I really like that. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. We come together with wisdom, all of us, and we come to a conclusion. My conclusion is it's all written in the Bible. Anyway, thank you.
Amen, Dr. Paul. And the thing that I would say is whether we're, you know, whether I look at it this way, you have, you know, when you come in, you look at someone's chart, right, their history and stuff like that, and you're like, wow, you know, that helps you to help diagnose a person, and you see these patterns. And I'm just telling you, sunspots, solar, you know, the 11-year cycle of the sun, where you can see these actual spots, they come and they go, and they do it over 11 years, whatever you want to do that. And I'm telling you, the number of those sunspots, where they are, how they're tracked, how that data has been done and then analyzed is very, very specific. One of the things about this particular solar sunspots grouping was interesting is they looked at it and they said, this looks just like the Carrington event. In other words, in 1859, the guy that was going up there and he was mapping the sun via the sunspots, Mr. Carrington, he had this grouping of sunspots together. And what they said is this grouping has a very similar looking to it as the ones in 1859. And in 1859, you know, none of us were there, but they said the guys that were doing the telegraph, they were burning their hands. They saw the electrical energy coming in, right? So these are documented events way before HARP, way before all these other things that we have today that can affect it. And so we do have a track record of certain things happening in the past. And I think that's worthy to just kind of ponder that. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, you've raised some very interesting questions. I like your analogy that you used with Paul and an EKG. And I'm sure that Paul will agree that if you take two knowledgeable doctors, both equal knowledge, they both come at it from different assumptions or different backgrounds. Equal knowledge, they look at the same exact EKG, and one doctor makes an assumption based on what he understands. The other doctor makes an assumption based on what he understands. Paul puts him on fish oil and magnesium and arginine, and the other doctor puts him on Eliquis. And so the same EKG is read in different ways. And I'll guarantee you that the word mitochondria is not in the Bible. Therefore, it can't exist. Come on, folks. You gotta get more realistic with this. And I'm sure that uranium 238 doesn't exist because it's not in the Bible. You see, we got to make some clarifications on our assumptions here. And the magnetic core, how do we have a magnetic field? Without an iron core, you wouldn't have a magnetic field. If you got a flat Earth, how are you going to have a magnetic field? Every magnetic field has a very known shape, and you can do it with little granules of steel and a magnet. You can see what that field looks like. It's very obvious. So we've got to be careful about the assumptions we have in our brains and ourselves and what the reality is showing us. Anyway.
And this is Carl. Yeah, there is a way to have a magnetic field without an iron core, and that's through thermionic emissions. The sun, you know, goes over the surface of the Earth, and the heat from the sun when it hits the Earth causes electrons. Now this, of course, assuming around Earth, which I'll be forward and never said this, or actually believe the Earth is a globe. As the Earth spins and the charge spins on the surface of the Earth, that spinning charge on the surface of the Earth caused by the sun drawing out the thermionic emission causes a magnetic field. can cause a magnetic field. So there is another theory available without having an iron core, and that could be what charges the iron core, though, which causes the iron core to then assume that magnetic field generated by the spinning thermionic charge caused by the sun and the rotation of the Earth. So there is another possibility. And, thank you.
And change in its intensity. That's where you get the change in intensity.
Yeah. Let me get Rochelle in because she had her hand raised up here. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Craig. I just wanted to, you know, I am also a biblical model believer, but it doesn't take away from the information that Craig is giving. Let's not get hung up on that because our Bible does tell us that there's going to be signs and seasons. You know, this is for us to be watching, and these are for us to celebrate our Moedim, our appointed times. So just because we may not agree on all the physiological facts, the information that Craig's bringing, we should look at. You know, we need to stay informed in all areas of what they call science. And just to know, because they'll use these things that divide us to deceive us. So I just wanted to put that out there. And thanks, Craig, for the info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just giving you the information you can follow. And then the other thing too is, you know, if you keep following, say, well, I don't believe it, but just give it, say, okay, I'm going to look at this guy, whether it's, you know, BP Earthwatch, I'll put in the chat, Suspicious Observers. I mean, they have all these playlists. You can go through them yourself and watch what they're talking about. But the thing is when they sit there and say, okay, is it 3 or 5 days this is going on with the sun and then these things happen, you can say, well, this is all man doing it, or is it, you know, okay, is there a possibility what they're saying is true? And if it is true, you know, like I said, I could go back way before HAARP and all the things, you know, weather modification, and say, there's these things that happened with the sun, and we had profound climate, eschatological volcanoes, earthquakes. I mean, I have hundreds of years of records. I've done this, right? And to me, I'm making this connection, and I'm saying there's something to this. Joe, get in here. We got 8 minutes left, and I want to make sure everybody gets opportunity to talk.
Okay, here's a couple of things. There's a guy that his name is Stan Deo. He came out with the EMP detector for your whole house. He's another guy who's worked for the government for a while, and this was his thing, was the sun. And if you spend any time in the military, we got a thing called True North. In Tampa, Florida, is where we reset our True North. They just reset it. Like what Craig was talking about, our True North has changed. And I don't know about everyone here, but the day this happened, our power did go out and it flickered back on. So there's something to it. Enough said.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Keith, come on back in.
Yeah, Mr. Stan Dale. He's a pretty cool guy. True North went to Miami. Dad, gone. That's way strange. My comment is, what about this, freezing of, super, super sub-zero effects on magnetism that they're doing all these experiments with? Could that possibly have, it's just something to think about, has something to do with it. And with all the, everything melting and such, this, that, and the other, and this, excuse me, flat Earth. The south around the rim of the flat Earth is that partly melting? I mean, we're coming to the end days. Who knows?
Well, I do believe our, you know, the magnetic field is shrinking. I believe that. I believe there's been a change in the intensity of the sun. I think if you, you know, for us, of, you know, God's given us breath and we walked the earth in the 70s and 80s and 90s, just going to the beach, right? Just looking at your kids, right? Your little grandkids go out there for 2 or 3 hours and they're already red. I mean, they're already burned. And it's in May. What's going on here? These are, you got to tie this, some of the signs with some of what people are saying and saying, is this a connection? And I think that there's a lot to it. And I think that's part of the reason why the earth is heating up. And that's part of the intensity of the sun. It's a difference between a 700 watt microwave and a 1,000 watt microwave. Okay. You know, in the 80s, we were in a 700 watt microwave. Now we're in a 1,000. It's going to have profound effects, and it is going to increase the melting of the ice and the heating up of the oceans, okay? Because they're a battery, they're a reservoir for the intensity of the sun. And if you have a 1,000-watt microwave now, the oceans are going to absorb that heat. Dave and Sherry?
Yeah, to what Joel just said about changing true north, I know that's true. For those that fly, you'll find out every time they change the true north, guess what they have to do at the airport? They have to change the actual number of the runway, and they'll change it to the actual proper heading as the true north changes. So they have to go out at the end of the runway, and they have to change the numbers ever so slightly. So runway 22 now becomes runway 21. And so I just learned that back years ago. I used to fly, and I don't do it anymore, but I do know that that affects actually the true north heading, and they'll actually go out in the airports and they have to change the actual heading and the name of the runway.
So I was just going to put in, maybe Mr. Producer, you could put in, pick up Isaiah 24, and because we're going to kind of wind it up here, and I just want to get a piece of scripture in. I know Keith and Jack will, if nothing else, we'll get you in the after show here. When I listened to some people read about this, and they were talking about a pole shift, and we've had pole shifts in the past, okay, because they have rocks that they can do, and they point to a different magnetic connection, right? One of the things about the lava and stuff, if it comes out, it holds its magnetic field when it is formed, and so they actually have parts of rocks and earth. They look at it, and it's pointing to a different magnetic field, and they're saying, wow, so our magnetic field has shifted, all right, in the past. The question is, how often has that happened? But when we start to go to Isaiah 24, we have to ask ourselves, is this a past a prophetic thing? Is it a future one? Is it one that happened in the past, and is it going to happen again? I'll just read a little bit. It says, see, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for the priest and the people, the master for his servant, the mistress for her servant, and seller for buyer, and borrower for lender and creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth, right? So there's a differentiation, the heavens and the earth, right? The earth is defiled by its people, and they have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, well, we're pretty much under that one, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. I want to stop on that. If you go to the book of Revelation, you see the sun is used often in that book, okay? And it says it will get 7 times hotter. What does that mean? Is the sun going to get 7 times hotter, or is the earth's magnetic field going to get 7 times weaker? I don't know, but it does talk about people being scorched in Revelation, and Isaiah is, the book of Isaiah, and if you read the last couple, it really does kind of mirror some of the things that you see in the book of Revelation. It says the new wine dries up and the vine withers. Well, what's that new wine, right? That's that communion. Remember, Jesus, we drink that new wine. We're under that new wine covenant. And the merrymakers groan. The joyful timbrels are stilled, and the noise of the revelers is stopped. The joyful harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to its drinkers. The ruined cities lie desolate, and the entrance to every house is barred. In the streets, they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom, and the joyful sounds are banished from earth. The city is left in ruins, and the gate and the is battered to pieces. So, Mr. Producer, I'm just going to have you run down here down to 17, because I want to get to this part where I think, all right. It says, terror and the pit await you, people of the earth. I don't know if that's happened yet. Whoever flees the sound of terror will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. The floodgates of heaven are open. What are the floodgates of heaven? Is that like when Noah, remember, the windows of heaven were opened up, the foundations of the earth shake, right? So people who are flat earth can say, well, those are pillars, right? The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is its guilt of its rebellion, the rebellion of mankind, right? And not only that, potentially the fallen that are on earth, that it falls and it never rises again. In that day, okay, is that a 24-hour day or is that a longer period? The Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. Remember Psalm 2, we said, you know, why do the kings of the earth and the people plow a vain thing? They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished as after many days. The moon will be dismayed, the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign, right? Christ reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Keep going. Mr. Producer, gotta go, okay. And the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem and before its elder with great glory. So Isaiah 24, I look at being, for me personally, it kind of addresses, I think, what we're kind of getting potentially ready to go into. We don't know if it's going to, if this is, those are those days, but we should just be aware. And I think we're at the time. So I thank you for that. And come back and see Coach tomorrow at 7 o'clock for another fun-filled, very interesting discussion that he'll have. God bless everybody.